I want to thank you all for your prayer requests. It is a joy to go before the Lord and to remember you before the Lord. You truly are giving to us when you place your prayer requests in the basket. This past week, as I was praying for you all, the Lord did a special little thing in my heart. He just helped me to get a taste of the joy that he experiences when we lift our voices to him. That by our deposit of faith up into heaven, when we lift our voices and look to him and trust him, without faith, it's impossible to please him. But when we exercise faith, it brings him delight. And so being able to exercise faith with you for your request and on your behalf, the Lord just gave me a sample of that joy. And it made me think of something I wrote a while back. It's that if we only knew how our prayers affect the heart of God when he hears them, when they enter into heaven's atmosphere, if we only knew the joy and delight with which he receives those, we wouldn't have to be exhorted to prayer.
Amen.
We wouldn't have to be told pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. No one could stop us.
That's right.
And so I want to say thank you for honoring our offering with your financial contributions, with your praise reports, and your prayers, because all of those are giving, and all of those represent God's blessing to each one of us that we share with one another. And it continues to make the statement that each one of us is a part of the body of Christ, and every single one of us has something to contribute. Mm-hmm. And so when you're sitting there, you're not just sitting there as a spectator. You're sitting there as a part of what God is doing on this earth. And it's an amazing privilege to be united with you in that. So God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Today's message is titled, Let It Grow and Let It Flow. Let it grow and let it flow. So let's see where the Lord will take us this morning. You know, he allowed me to get the bus ready, but where we wind up, who knows? Prayerfully, that as he drives, it's as much of a mystery to me as it is to you, believe it or not. So our message, let it grow, let it flow. Our text is from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 9 and 10. And you've heard me quote this verse before. I actually wanted to delve into it a little more deeply this morning. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And I am going to be reading from the New American Standard Bible, which may read a little differently than yours, but there is a particular word in this translation that means the same thing in the Greek, but I like the way they've rendered it in English. But you are a chosen race. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
For once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Amen.
You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light so that you may proclaim his excellencies. And Peter repeats this idea in the next chapter, chapter 3, in verses 15 through 16. He puts it slightly different, puts a little meat on the bones, makes it a little bit more practical with these words. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that's in you. So that everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you can hear your defense about what is this hope all about. So that they can hear your story. So that they can hear why you are so into Jesus. What is it about him that attracts you? What is it about him that organizes your life, or that causes you to look at him as the leader of your life, or as the beacon of your life? What's the big deal, essentially, about Jesus? So if you're taking notes, here's the main idea. Let who Jesus is to you spill out at appropriate times and in an appropriate manner. Let who he is to you spill out at appropriate times and in an appropriate manner. That's what the second verse that I quoted, the 1 Peter 3 verse, tells us to do. It says to let him make this defense, yet with gentleness and with reverence. Let it grow in you, and then let it flow from you. This is about letting who Jesus is to us well up and let it flow out. Fill up, flow out. Fill, let me say that with me. Fill up and flow out. What did Pastor Dan talk about? Fill up and flow out. That's what this is about. That's what Peter is saying in more spiritual terms. Set Christ apart in your heart. Let him be who he is in you. Fully enjoy and embrace who he is to you. Set him apart as Lord. Set him apart for all the things that we've been singing about this morning. See him that way. Magnify him that way. Let that be your experience of him, so that you are able to give a defense for why you have this hope in him. I want to say this. The other day I was reflecting on the verse in Isaiah 9:6 where it says, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But it starts with, his name will be called Wonderful. And I thought, that's who he is. That's his name. Wonderful. It's not just what he does. It's who he is. It's a defining quality of the Jesus that we talk about and sing about. His name is Wonderful, the song goes. So I said, you know, people ask me, why are you so into Jesus? And that's not really the question. The question is, why wouldn't everybody be into Jesus when his very defining quality is wonderful? It just makes sense to me. So when we proclaim his excellencies to those who do not yet believe, because that's what it says, proclaim his excellencies. When we do that with people who do not yet believe, it's called evangelism. When we proclaim his excellencies to one another, it's called encouraging one another. And when we proclaim his excellencies to him, it's called praise. It's called worship. And that's what we did this morning together. We were proclaiming his excellencies to him. We were telling him how great he is. And we were also proclaiming it to one another. So I want to talk about those three things. When we proclaim his excellencies to those who do not yet believe, it's called evangelism. The scripture calls us to be witnesses. Calls us to be witnesses, not experts. You don't have to be a theologian to be a witness. You don't have to be an expert to be a witness. You just have to have a story. All we're called to do is share our truth. All we're called to do is share our facts. A blind man from birth told his story like this. When they said, come on, man, tell us, admit it, agree with us. Jesus is a sinner. He said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But there's one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. He was proclaiming his excellencies. A woman met Jesus one day and she ran into town to tell her story. She didn't know a whole lot. She said, come and see a man who has told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? See, when we're proclaiming our story, we don't have to say a lot. Just have to say what's true. Amen. You don't have to make a case. You just need to relate the facts as the Lord has presented them to you. It's not up to you to make it stick. It's not up to you to make it work. It's not up to you to make sure they get it. It's not up to you to convince them. Doesn't say that. Just let's proclaim it.
Amen.
Proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Paul, in Acts 26, the Apostle Paul was on trial for his life before the royals, before King Agrippa II, and before Festus, was the procurator of Judea, the governor. And when the pressure was on, Paul knew a lot. He'd written a lot. He knew the depths of theology quite well, as we see from the book of Romans and all these other brainy expedition or expositions of truth. So deep that Peter at one point said, you know, Paul writes stuff that it's hard to understand. Even Peter thought that. But when the heat was on, when the pressure was on, when he really had to hit a home run, when he had to drive the nail firm and straight, when this was no time to play, he did not rely on his theology.
Amen.
What he did was tell his story.
Amen.
In the midst of this cauldron of pressure, he said, you know, one thing I know I got is what happened to me.
Amen.
And that is what he delivered.
Yes, sir.
He talked about his encounter with the risen Christ and what happened to him. Of course, Festus at one point yells out, Paul, your great learning has driven you mad. People aren't always going to receive it. It's not always going to end well. But don't let that deter you. It's not our job. It doesn't say, make sure it ends well. Proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness. It's not the drama of your story. It's God's power working through your story.
Amen.
It's not how dramatic, how impactful it is, all the bells and whistles of it. It's God working through the story he gave you. He wrote your story. He is the author of your story, and your story is part of a larger narrative. And it's not up to you to tell the whole story.
Amen.
You may deliver a line at a particular time, and the Lord may bring someone else in with another line to contribute. Or maybe the line that you contribute may be the very thing that person needed to hear at that time to cross out of death into life.
Great.
So it's not up to us to try to figure out how all this fits. It doesn't say that. Don't burden yourself with that. It's not up to us to control any results. You've got one thing that you've been directed to do.
Amen.
Proclaim the excellencies of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You may not have a dramatic conversion story. Your story may be something like this. I came to know Christ as a little child.
Amen.
I don't remember exactly when. So you say, well, where's the punch, Pastor? What I got? Here it is. But throughout my life, fill in the blanks. That's your story. Throughout my life, boom, there it is. That's the excellency that the Lord wants you to share with others. People can debate your theology, and they will, but they can't refute your story.
Amen.
They can always argue with your points of doctrine, but they can never refute your story any more than those Pharisees and religious leaders could refute the blind man's story. All I know is this. I was blind, and now I see. No one could refute the woman's story. But he told me everything I ever did. And they can't refute your story. They can't refute who Jesus is to you.
Amen.
And it's not your job to convince them that it's true.
Amen.
Oh, it really did happen. It really, really, really did happen. It really did. It really, I ain't like, it really did. No. Just tell them. Be cool. Let it grow. Let it flow. Let it flow. The power is not in your presentation.
Amen.
The power is in God's Spirit doing his work.
Amen.
People don't come to Jesus because of your persuasiveness. Give it a break.
Amen.
And it's not just your conversion story.
Amen.
It's your answer to Jesus' question, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? We're called to be witnesses. And each person's conscience is the jury. Each person's conscience is the jury. Secondly, when we proclaim his excellencies to believers, it is called encouraging one another.
Yes.
In literally the first half of his letter to the Ephesians, Paul is doing nothing. If you were to read Ephesians 1 through Ephesians 3, all Paul is doing through those first three chapters of the book, and it's more than half actually by words, more than half of the book of Ephesians is about proclaiming his excellencies. That's all he's doing in the first three chapters of Ephesians. And what wondrous things he expresses. What wondrous things he expresses. Listen, here's just a small list of Paul proclaiming to these believers the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Proclaiming to them that he chose us in Christ.
Amen.
Before the foundation of the world, he says.
Yes,
he says he's predestined us to adoption as sons and daughters. He says that he sealed us with the promised Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Says he's redeemed us through the blood of Christ. He lavished his grace upon us. He talks about his incomparably great power towards us. He says, when we were dead, he made us alive. Amen. Says he created us for good works that he prepared beforehand for us to walk in. Says he's given us access to the Father through the Spirit. Yes. It says that he's made us fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household.
Yes.
It's spilled out of Ephesians and flipped over into Philippians, where he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Yes. So he's proclaiming the excellencies of him who gives us peace that is beyond human understanding.
Amen.
He flips over to Philippians 4:13 and he says, I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the effect that this is having on you, the effect it had on me, the effect it had on them was wow.
Yes.
Excellencies of him. How excellent is your name, O Lord. Excellent. How marvelous. How wonderful. John took up the mantle. He said, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on us. That we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is because it didn't know him.
Hallelujah.
And then Paul hops back in and starts talking to the Thessalonians. And he says, the Lord himself is going to come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another. Proclaim his excellencies to one another. Encourage one another with these words. This is what happens when we get together, is we encourage one another.
Yes.
We proclaim his excellencies to one another so that we remember, so that we see what we've gotten ourselves into.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So that we see what he's gotten us into.
Yes,
and each one of us has something to say.
Yes.
Each one of us has, you know what I was going to do? I was sitting there, I was going back and forth. Like, should I just, should I? I think I will. I don't think I will. I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know what? I'm just going to skip that second point altogether and just make people line up. Whoever wants to, and just come up and make a statement about his excellence.
Ooh.
Just who he is to you. Just a statement. Just what? You ain't got time to tell a story. And if you start telling a story, I'm going to push you off because we ain't got time. I know that if you were to keep on talking, we'd be here all day and night. But everybody out there, even without coming up here, every one of you out there has something to say, don't you?
Yes.
You got something to say. I said, who is Jesus to you? Who has he been to you? What is he to you? Well, some of you could come up here and he encourages me. He provided for me.
Yes.
He picked me up when I was down. He came after me.
Yes.
In Sunday school, somebody said that he came after me. He didn't let me go.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
And it could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So this is what we're talking about, proclaiming his excellency. That's what we're doing.
Yes, sir.
When we're proclaiming his excellency, we're encouraging one another with who he has been to us.
Yes.
What he has done.
Tell
us.
Yes, sir.
As he has let it grow within us, and then we let it flow.
Yes.
It encourages one another.
Amen.
You know, it has a lot of different effects. I wanted to just share with you what happens when we let it flow. If you from my place, turn to that in your bulletin. I want to read that to you. It's about 3 pages from the back, well, maybe 5 pages from the back flip, back folder. I recall a talk I gave in South Carolina before a gathering of people. None of whom looked like me. Afterwards, a man approached me and surprised me with a strong and affectionate bear hug while passionately whispering in my ear, "You did it. You did it. I love you. I love you." I didn't understand what he was talking about, didn't understand what he meant, but in our brief conversation that followed, he disclosed to me that he'd been a part of a white supremacist group and that the talk I gave had deeply touched him. My talk was not about race relations. It was my testimony of how I came to know Christ. And he had apparently become a Christian recently. I know in this present climate, and it's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Marlo gave me a hat as a gift. Normal's not coming back. Jesus is. Ain't going to get better. But I know in this present climate, there are sharp divisions in our politics, even among Christians.
Yes.
And many relationships have been strained and even severed because of those sharp disagreements. But when it comes to Christ himself, everything changes. When Christ himself, not a Christian philosophy, not a Christian ideology, when Christ himself is our focus, barriers are dismantled. Defenses are relaxed. Love abounds. And a taste of heaven is enjoyed here on earth. In that moment, that brother and I sampled what life beyond earth and with the Lord will be like. Without the malignancy of otherness that plagues our world. It will be a place where Paul's instruction, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. It will not be just a vision of what can be or ought to be, but an eternal reality.
Thank you, Lord.
When we proclaim the excellencies of him to one another, blessings flow, changes take place, hearts are lifted up, unity is realized. And then finally, when we proclaim his excellencies to him, it's called praise. Psalm 29:2 says, "Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name." In other words, tell the Lord how great he is. Tell him how wonderful he is. Tell him how magnificent he is. Let the praise in your heart flow out and express to him how marvelous he is to you. Don't just think about praise. Praise. Don't just read about praise. Praise. Do it. Let it go. Let it flow. Let it out.
Yeah.
Let it out. There's a whole bunch of ways to let it out. You let it out by singing. Turn the music up. Let it out. You may sit down like me a lot of times. I want to sit down and just write it out. Just write it till the pen runs out of ink. Just let it out. You may want to shout it out.
Hallelujah.
Let it out. Tell him how great he is. Not that he doesn't know. He knows how great he is. He tells us how great he is. Behold, I am the God. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? When they asked his name, Mr. Manoah asked his name. He said, why are you asking my name? Since it is just wonderful. It is too much. You couldn't hold my name. You couldn't handle my name. I know how great I am. But you see, when we tell him how great he is, it magnifies the Lord. Not in his eyes. He knows how great. In whose eyes is it? Does it magnify him? In our eyes. By telling him how great he is, it magnifies who he is to us. When we proclaim his excellencies to him, all of a sudden, the problems that we're dealing with take on a different dimension. You know, they used to be like this. And now they kind of start shrinking a little bit. Sometimes they even disappear. And you say, what was I worried about in the first place? That thing that plagued me all night, as I have put it in the light of how great he is, as I have proclaimed his excellencies to him, something has happened. It's gone. And if it's not gone, the sharp edges of it have been watered down by praise.
Still there
a little bit, but it doesn't stick me as much. It doesn't poke me as hard. Because you're proclaiming his excellencies who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are filling up and you are flowing out. Tell the Lord how great he is. Jesus did this in Luke 10. It says, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, when the disciples came back, he sent out the 70, and they came back and talked about all the wondrous things that had happened through their ministry. When they came back, they reported to Jesus, and Jesus said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. And he says, nevertheless, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And then it says, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you've revealed them to little children.
Yeah.
So he let it out. Look at what you're doing to these regular old common folks, and the big heads who think they got it all together don't even know what's up. I praise you, God, for your wisdom, for your humility.
Yes, Lord.
You don't need the biggest trumpet. You don't need the brightest bauble. You don't need the superstar. You have hidden it from them and revealed it to babes. I got to let that out, y'all. I got to let it out.
Yes.
Richard Smallwood said, I got to let it out. Jesus, you're the center of my joy.
Yes.
All that's good and perfect comes from you. Yes. You're the heart of my content, hope for all I do. When I lost my direction, you're the compass for my way.
Yes.
He says, you are why I find pleasure in the simple things. Another person let it out like this, shackled by a heavy burden.
Yes.
Go, let it go.
Neath a load of guilt and shame.
Wow.
And then the hand of Jesus touched me.
Let it flow. Let it flow.
And now I'm no longer the same.
Yes.
every Easter and every Christmas, we have two of our members share their answer to this question. What difference has Jesus made in your life? Wow. Last Christmas, Brother Thaddeus and Sister Michelle shared the difference that Jesus made in their lives. And they're proclaiming the excellencies of the Lord. Let it grow. Let it flow.
Yes.
And I'm done.
Amen.